Hello, this is James St. John welcoming you to another Not Just Another Business podcast. We're so glad you're starting your week with us in this great final week of October. Hope you are looking forward to the holiday season. A little over 60 days until Christmas. And hey, it's an early gift as we continue our conversation with Lorinda Shaver. So let's get started.
So the next topic we want to talk about is what I like to call supposed inauthenticity. That's a bit of a mouthful, I know. But, you know, it's the lack of authenticity. And there was a recent situation. I'm sure not many people are privy to it. It's not like a massive thing. But there were two bloggers, both individuals are nice people, and I think they're both great in their own regards, and they're usually very well received as well within their circles. But there was a clash, a misalignment of core values, and then ugly things happen. And this is what happened when social media, you know, becomes anti-social media, and we all become sad pandas.
That's where you're going to put the panda in. I get it.
Yes, that's where we put the panda in. We'll try to get a cute little panda picture up, too, because who doesn't love pandas? So anyway, the situation was simple. And I don't know. We were kind of debating before the show if we should name drop. I want to be clear that I'm not calling anyone out. The individuals in question were Adrienne Smith, and I know she's pretty well known, and then Adrian Klein, which is also a good buddy, or better yet, a real friend of Stan Farina's. And again, they were both actually in one of my tribes on Triber. And the whole situation happened when Stan shared an article about basically keeping it real. And Adrienne Smith was one of the first people that posted on there saying how much she agrees with everything he's saying. And she leaves very meaty comments. You know, she doesn't leave like these cookie cutter comments where, you know, it's just a obligatory reciprocal comment or just a courtesy comment, right? We don't like those, right, guys?
No, I call them cheerleader comments.
That's right.
I like that, cheerleaders.
Yes. Well, that's a whole different kind of comment, because those are like when you have the fans that just want some of your groupies to follow them too, right? But then you have the people that just do it because they feel like if you don't do it in return, then they won't be getting more comments from you in the future and getting some of your juice.
Oh my goodness, when did this become so complicated?
I know. Maybe I'm reading into it too much.
But it has become complicated. It sounds like the teenage drama of a youth group or a high school classroom, or better yet, a junior high school classroom.
Oh gosh, or like one of their Facebook pages. You don't want to look at that if you have a, you know, sensitive eyes. Oh my goodness. Some of the things kids get away with these days. Whew. Again, that'll be for a future discussion, because I think we keep going back to children. That's a dangerous topic. We need more moderation on that.
Yeah, I think I'm a bad influence. I can tell already. Yeah,
but ultimately, it happens when we, even as adults, we act like children.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I'm just going to say, that's basically what happened here. Anyway, what happens a lot in social media when adults act like children. So anyway, Adrienne Smith left a comment, beautiful comment, and Stan replied to it, nice conversation going. It's just everything you want in comments, you know, authentic, meaningful, adds value for everyone. Everyone's leaving comments across each other's comments, you know, and real conversations going all over the place. I mean, the threads were going so deep that you couldn't reply to some of the threads anymore. That's how much the conversation was going. But then Adrian Klein came in and basically said, hey, I'm calling you out. Because I don't think you stand for what you say you stand for. Because you know what? You sent me a message and said, I like you already on Twitter. And then when I went to reply you, to send you a message back on direct message, you weren't following me, and the message wouldn't go through. So, now we get to what we really want to discuss here. You know, what went wrong? All right, there's a lot of things there. First of all, you know, I think both parties kind of handled it wrong. Adrian Klein was particularly little excessive in his means, but I understand and I appreciate his passion, because he's standing by his beliefs and he really believes in engaging people in meaningful, deep ways. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I don't like getting these automated pre-canned responses. I'd rather not get anything at all than get something automated just for, because you feel the need to let me know that you acknowledge me. I want to be sincerely acknowledged. Who doesn't? What do you guys think about that?
Lorinda. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, Lorinda, you jump right in there. I want to hear what you have to say about this.
I think a lot of people forget that online mirrors offline. Mm. And that, you know, you can feel the ridiculousness of this if you just take that scenario and you put it in real life. Right?
That's so true, yeah.
Because would you in real life just, you know, say randomly, "Hey, Omar. Hey, James." No.
and then disappear.
Yes. Like, it's just odd, you know, like, and I think that, you know, then right away, if it doesn't have that natural feeling like you would do in real life, automatically, I think your first inclination is there's something wrong. You're gaming the system somehow here, or you're doing something that's not a real sincere connection. And
you know,
right away, you get that sign of bad feeling about that person.
Yes.
Right?
I got an even better metaphor now. You ready for it?
Yep. Bring it on.
Imagine if you had a pen pal overseas, you know, and they write you a letter. This is the first letter they ever wrote you. Somehow they came across your address because you're part of a pen pal program, let's say. They write you a really beautiful letter, and you want so badly to write them back. And guess what? They didn't give you a return address. Not on the letter, not on the envelope. What the heck? That's why I understand why Adrian just totally blew up on the situation, because it does send off a real, like, it rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah.
Well, and this may seem really silly, but the image that came to my mind is social media whack-a-mole. Because that's, I feel like, sometimes I feel like that's the game I'm playing with some of these folks who, you know, send out these, because I get those, it seems like, quite a bit through my direct messaging on Twitter. I like
we
you already.
About earlier.
Or
yeah.
I can't believe what you were doing in this picture. I came and there are people that I can't find in my followers and that I'm not following, and I'm trying to investigate. Is this something that I should that I should click? You know, but you know, again, it's like you're again the whole whack-a-mole thing where, you know, these things pop up and they're just. They are a bit irritating. And so, you know, I can understand, again, like you said, Adrian's passion for engagement. And, you know, I've signed on a long time ago that I may automate some things through my Twitter timeline just to, you know, to keep some link juice going and things like that. But absolutely, I would never send an automated direct message. That's just, to me, it's just not good practice.
Especially not under the guise of being engaging, you know?
Right.
Don't say something like, "I love your profile," and automate that. That's just weird. So, and then what's even weird about this story is that we have two Adrians. We have Adrian Klein and Adrian Smith. One's a girl, one's a boy. Adrian Klein is the boy, by the way. But, you know, they're both great people, and it's just bad news on both sides, because Adrian Klein should not have, you know, let her have it the way he did. I mean, he went off on a tangent about it really bad. And then Adrian Smith, you know, she should have really just tried to talk to him aside and just explain to him, make him understand why she does what she does. And maybe they could have reached a consensus. They could have both had an aha moment, you know, and go, "Aha! I never thought about it that way." How many times does that happen when people just talk things out? Because, you know, trolling and flaming doesn't get you anywhere. It just makes you feel better, and then you realize nothing really productive came out of it.
Or simply just agreeing to disagree. Because, you know, there are people,
yeah,
people that I'm friends with that, good grief, you know, we can get into the whole automation discussion. And, you know, because it's obviously a discussion that's alive and well, and I think it will continue with a continued introduction of many more automated tools to for people to use to make it easier, you know, to engage, which is funny to me. But, you know, and there'll be some people who will jump on those bandwagons and will, you know, they'll sit back and laugh at other people who will take the time to engage people as you would on the street.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, you used that, kind of created this image in my mind a minute ago, Lorinda, when you were talking about, you know, you wouldn't just in a random way come up and say, hi, Omar, or hi, James. Well, it's the same thing. You wouldn't have this little robotic box and come up to someone and press a button. Hello, how are you today? I mean, that doesn't... I mean, the images that come to my mind about what some people are doing... and again, this may be a little overzealous or even, you know, a little dramatic, but it's almost offensive, really.
I think so.
Well, you know what? It is, because it comes down to basic manners. You know what? It's like, if you're not going to be treating me like a human, then you're being rude.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
And it's like, no one likes that feeling of someone sort of treating you, because they're treating you less than a person. If they're not taking, you know, if they're going to engage with you or have any kind of contact with you, I mean, you should do it from a very respectful point of view, in my view. And if you're just going to say, well, you're not important enough for me to talk to you directly, you know, then what's the point?
Right. Well, and that's, you know, I was having a conversation at lunch today with a gentleman who, we try to eat lunch together a couple of times a month, and, you know, he's an IT guy, and we talk about his difficulties. He works for a college that's here local, and just dealing with the difficulties of expansion, and, you know, man, I wouldn't want his job, let's just put it that way. And, you know, we just got on the subject of automated marketing, you know, from even big companies. He said, you know, I hate ordering from some companies because then, you know, I'll receive emails, you know, three times a week from them for 3 years. And he was talking about how offended he gets by, you know, being treated like that. And, you know, so the automation, it runs this broad gambit of things, not just in social media, but also in prospect follow-up, customer follow-up, which is one of the passions that I have. And, you know, obviously automation has its place in all of those, but there's a balance that we have to reach where it doesn't reach the level of being absolutely rude.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the thing about that too, also, when you do that kind of stuff, because I've been on the fence about email marketing for a while. I've helped some clients execute on that successfully, but it's not really my forte, so to speak. But I feel like the opt-in process should be something that's ongoing and tiered even, whereas, you know, when you get the initial opt-in, don't go jumping straight to dripping tons of information onto the customer. You know, try to share the value and give more than you try to take. And then you can maybe drip some stuff here and there that will maybe bring them to make a buying decision or whatever it is you're trying to get done.
Right. But the key is there is value. Because the majority of the email you get, particularly follow-up email, really has no value whatsoever to me.
It reminds me of the empty cart email. You know, it's the other way around. It's a full cart email. Like, you know, I don't know if you've seen this, but more and more sites are doing it. When you leave items in your shopping cart online.
That abandoned cart
deal. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Abandoned cart deal. It's a raw deal sometimes, too, let me tell you.
Yeah, the reason I abandoned it is because I don't want it.
here's the thing. I don't like, I feel the same way. But sometimes it is smart, because there have been times they'll send me an email. Here's when it's smart: when they have a criteria that actually is deeper than just I left some items on the site accidentally, quote unquote. Or, you know, if they actually say something like, you know, those items you left in the shopping cart, well, they're on sale now, And all of a sudden, it's like you feel the urgency. And I'm a sucker sometimes for that, even though I know it's a marketing ploy. And I say, wow, 33% off? I got to get this now.
Right, and that would, and again, those kind of things would make sense. Let's say, for example, the reason you visited the site is because you had a coupon code or something was on sale, and they were to say, hey, as a courtesy to you, we want you to let you know that that coupon code is going to expire, or this is going to be off sale next week. So we wanted to remind you, not so much, hey, guy, come, don't abandon your shopping cart. We want you as a customer. Well,
yeah.
Anyway,
that, you know that, what? It's the old adage of like, you know, are you producing something with the user in mind, or are you just producing it with, you know, yourself in mind? It's like, you know, because you can smell it right away. You get an email and you can tell it's all about them, or if you get an email that's truly designed where it's all about you.
Absolutely, and I'm with you,
and I think that is that's the key for, you know, as Yomar talked about, that's the key to email marketing.
Yeah.
You know, and it avoids, you know, spam complaints. And, you know, I know a lot of people, they work on, you know, pre-qualifying leads and make it, you know, understand that it makes sure people are interested in what you're sending them and those kind of things, you know, lead generation, you know, and optimization and that kind of thing. But the reality is, I'm kind of with Yomar on the idea of, you know, the whole thing of the tiered opt-in, you know, using the double opt-in. Again, it's just been so proven that all of those steps that you take avoid the complaints.
Yes.
And even though they're somewhat automated, but that's, again, you know, so I guess what we're talking about here is we're not necessarily saying that automation is terrible. It's how you apply that automation in your marketing.
And what I would even say with that is, just give your customers an exit strategy and develop the expectations better. You know, don't let them feel trapped, because even if they agree to give you the email address and you consider that an opt-in, they may not know what to expect. They don't know what kind of stuff you're going to get. Who reads the fine print? Who reads the EULAs, you know, the end user license agreement and all that crazy stuff? No one really stops to read that. I mean, it's written in a language no one understands. And they're long. I mean, it's like an epic diatribe each time you try to go through those things.
See, no, this is what you read when you can't sleep. Like, you know, yes. I got to get that user agreement just because I can't pass out right now.
I do keep a little stack of printouts of those, but I go through so much ink.
For some reason, Yomar, that wouldn't surprise me. I'm kidding.
Oh man, but you know, wrapping up what we're talking about, this whole debacle with Adrian Smith and Adrian Klein and what we learned about being authentic, you know, just a few key points here. You know, I feel that we should all welcome more folks to disagree with us, because we're so used to getting pats on the back and avoiding failure, but we should welcome the constructive criticism. And then if we disagree on things and we really can't meet halfway, let's at least be civil about it, right? And, you know, back to authenticity, if you're going to project a certain persona, make sure it's consistent across everything you do, you know, because the slightest inconsistency could set off someone, and it might not be your fault. It might be that person who just had a recent slew of bad experiences, and then they bring it to you. Or maybe it's an issue that everyone was too pleasant about and they didn't bring to your attention because they like you. So they don't want to make you feel bad about something you're doing that's kind of a don't. So that's just wrapping up that section. So
I just one last note. Like, basically, yeah, you're saying don't take it personal.
That's right.
Right? And I think the key thing that people forget is attacking the person or attacking the behavior.
Ah.
Because, like, you know what? Like, Yomar, like, I really like you. But if you do something stupid, then I'm going to tell you did something stupid. But does that change how I feel about you? No. It's your behavior that I'm criticizing.
And
I think those are two separate things, and I think a lot of people confuse the two.
And you're telling him because you like him and you don't want him to make a fool of himself.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so a lot of times it's a relationship that makes the difference, because I'm definitely going to be more receptive from someone Well, I'll be more receptive for my wife saying, hey, you got food, you know, stuck in your beard or something. And I wouldn't be from some perfect stranger coming up, you know, you look like a real idiot with that food in your beard. You know what I mean?
And now all goes back
to the approach.
It is all the approach. Framing and positioning, baby.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yep, call back there. We're a master of those, let me tell you. We're masters at that. But, wow. I love the thing about judging the behavior and not the person. Because that's the thing that makes people defensive, is when they feel like you're making them, you're belittling them. But really, if you position it so that you sincerely show that you care about them and you just want better for them, then it should be received as a better thing. But again, sometimes another thing that happens on the other side, people don't do as much personal development as they should. And sometimes when they do, they're flocking around guys that are just trying to collect a paycheck and throwing out some really nice words, but they're not really driving results, because when it all comes down to it, it's emptiness. There's nothing really there and no substance.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of personal development. I think most of my books, honestly, as much as I would love to do more fictional reading, you know, these days it's all technical manuals and, you know, I guess what some people call self-help books. And it's important, because you got to kind of bulletproof yourself, because the negative stuff is going to come regardless. And the more success you taste, the more people are going to kind of push you and try to, you know, bring you down. We can't let them bring you down, baby. Can't let it go.
And you know what? And that loops right back to your network, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, when you get stuck, or when you have issues, or when, you know, when I get stuck and I need to respond to something and I'm not quite sure that the response is appropriate, then that's when I head to my network and get help, right? And then sort of say, hey, you know, what do you think of this?
That's right.
And that makes a huge difference. And I think that if you're not authentic, and that if you're inconsistent, and in fact, it was interesting when I'm doing my research for personal branding, there was a correlation always. When they said be memorable, it's always about being consistent, which at first I found really odd, but after a while it dawned on me that makes total sense, because the only way you can be memorable is if you are consistent in terms of what you do.
That's so true. I love it. And by the way, mm-hmm. you mentioned your network, and you know, I forgot to mention this when I introduced you, Lorinda. You're one of the folks that I consider an accountability partner. But I take it further. I like to have a small group within that. That's not just my mastermind group or people that I engage with often, but I like to call them my workout buddies. And with the emphasis on the out. Workout. Because, you know, you take the work out of stuff. See that? I'm coining that, so don't try to take it, guys.
Jeez, I already see the little TM in the corner.
That's right. I have a feeling that one's taken, Yomar.
It probably is. It's too clever not to be taken, darn it. But you know, it's important though, because when you have folks that you really feel like you can open up about anything, you know, show your proverbial warts to them, you know, maybe even pass gas in front of them.
That's really being open.
Yes, I brought that up in a few episodes. I'm going to see when James finally says, okay, you have to stop mentioning the flatulence, Yomar. But, you know, just be yourself, right? You know, you're not worried about being judged. And you can just share those uncomfortable truths. That was delayed, James.
No, I was trying to hold it in.
you shouldn't. We're having fun, man.
Oh, I know.
That's the whole point.
You got him, Yomar. You got him.
I got him.
No, it's just the assumption that you would think that I would correct you on that.
That's like an ongoing joke, you know, our little calling card. But, you know, what were we saying? See, now I just lost it.
We're talking about workout buddies and accountability partners.
That's right.
And being
well, yeah,
real.
You know, it's important to have those folks that you can be open with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, sometimes that's the thing that can keep you from going over the edge. When you're in a really bad place, and we've all been there, you know, and then sometimes we just feel alone. And it doesn't just happen in our personal lives, but also in our business lives. But really what people have to understand is that they flow into each other. There's not really a line there. You know, you work because you want to maintain a certain lifestyle. And if you have a certain lifestyle, it might affect your work. And if you don't have someone that can really understand where you're at in your life, where you are, you're at with your business, and really just share those little intimate details of yourself, no matter how transparent you are, there are some things you got to keep for those special friends, right? You guys. Help me out here.
Yomar, I don't know what to do with that.
that's kind of what I was thinking. But you know, Yomar, and you know, I hesitate a lot of times to interject, you know, spiritual truth and that kind of into conversations. Like,
I didn't want to go off on a far tangent. I wanted to get you guys involved on that. I think it's important.
But the thing is, you know, and again, I know not every listener to this program is, you know, believes in a God or is, you know, a Christian, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, I believe that we are created to be in relationship with one another.
Yes.
And, you know, we need each other. We need one another. And, again, a lot of people have lots of thoughts about what that means. But, you know, I don't want to be an island, and because I'm not built to be an island. And there's not a single individual on this earth that I believe. Again, all of us have different personalities, and there are some folks, you know, there are times when I enjoy greatly being alone outside of all the noise and all of that. But, that's not life, and that's not living. And, you know, we need people who are watching our back. We need people that we're reciprocating that kind of thing for, you know, that we're watching their back. You know, that's... There's a need within all of us, I believe, as human beings, to have that relationship. Now, that's really what you're talking about. That's what you're saying. You know, I value that relationship, and you value it because I believe you are built to value it.
That's very true, and I think it may have been C.S. Lewis or Henry Thoreau that said that the no man is an island. I forget. It's one of those, like, really quotable guys that, like, will far exceed any of our collective creative efforts. Those are also the people that people love to retweet on Twitter. You know, those quotes, the pithy quotes, just to get their clout mentions up.
Yes, that's why the club thinks I'm an expert in sheep. But,
Wait, you are? No. This will be an evening of confessions.
No. This I had a title of a blog post that had the word sheep in it, and apparently now I'm an expert in it.
Oh, wow.
It's quite interesting.
Well, I told you, you might have some competition there with Danny Brown, so... I might have to talk to him about that and see if you could do some, like, split revenue sharing or something.
And so maybe Yomar needs to have a title of a blog post with passing gas, and we can...
We can do. Oh yes, I can see the clip mentioned.
We can declare him the expert.
I see it already. Actually, passing gas and what it teaches us about social media.
Oh my god!
I'm sure I can make it work. Don't challenge.
You know, if anyone could, Yomar, you could.
I will take that as a compliment.
Yes, and that actually was intended as a compliment. But you know, I'm thinking. You know, as I'm hearing, you know, sort of talking about this about. You know, we go from an individual sort of expressing themselves and going too far in terms of being able to say something that it could be taken the wrong way to the fact that, you know, you sort of need people to be able to tame that. But I think it comes full circle in the sense if you have that, you know, workout buddy group, if you have those people and then therefore you develop the self-confidence in yourself in terms of what it is, you know, that you're communicating and what you are, I think... It comes full circle back that when you do come across something where you're offended, you don't have that need to like explode, because you're in your day-to-day interactions and the group that you build around you allows you to feel much more grounded in terms of what it is you do.
Yeah, absolutely, and that becomes I like to look at it as mutual growth, because you're bettering yourself, and you're also helping others do the same. Mm-hmm. You enrich your life, and you enrich the lives of others. And that's the good kind of reciprocity. That's the good kind of give or take.
There's a book called about happiness in buckets, and it's fantastic for kids. Sorry, I always go back to kids, but that's my background in kids' television. But it's so good because it actually gives you a visual of this, right? So it says, imagine everyone carries an invisible bucket in their head, right? And your job in terms of empathy is to fill that other person's bucket. right? So are you a person who fills buckets, or are you a dipper? Or you take away from someone else? And the key thing is, when you fill someone else's bucket, at the same time, yours magically gets filled too.
Not great. And not just that. You know what I love about that? Mm-hmm. The buckets, if you spend more time filling the buckets of others, eventually they overflow and you get some of that goodness too, right?
It's another way of looking at it, yeah.
I might try that up just to read it myself.
I'll send you the link.
Sweet.
Well, and Beckett, just to kind of close that out, I was thinking as you were kind of giving that illustration, that so often what we find is that we have a certain expectation of others, but we have a lower expectation for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lorinda, I sure want you to treat me well, but sometimes I won't treat you as well as I expect you to treat me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it comes down to, a lot of times, you know, if you want people to be patient with you, then maybe you should show that same patience. Or if you want people to understand, hey, I had a bad day, or I made a mistake and I sent you a robot I sent you a robot direct message. You understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm preaching to the choir, so I'll just be quiet.
And enjoy the silence.
Yeah.
There we go.
We both did it. Speaking of enjoying the silence, we talked about reciprocity. You know, the give or take of not just online world, but the offline world, right? We thrive on this because, you know, no matter how selfless we may be, eventually we need to be selfish, right? So I think about this. Sometimes we have things like blog posts or videos that we share online, whatever, or podcasts, you know, that we share online, right? And we don't get the response that we want, at least not in a visible way. And, you know, Dave, who was recently on our show, Dave Gallant, I would have to make a conscious decision to pronounce that properly.
Good job, Yomar.
I know he'll be proud when he listens to this. I keep wanting to call him, you know, by the car's name, the Mitsubishi Gallant. Well, anyway. you know, sometimes I feel like we just have to enjoy the silence more. And you know, I'm not just saying that for the sake of keeping the callback going and getting my clout score up, but you know, it makes you think. And Dave made a great point. Do we really need affirmation or validation? And, you know, I put in parentheses, all the time. And we need it some of the time, but do we need it all the time? What do you guys think?
We're enjoying it.
Talk about a loaded question.
That's a loaded question, right?
You know,
can I get more context first?
Well, let me respond this way, because it fits in very well, I think, with what we were talking about earlier. In the concept of, if you have low self-esteem, then yes, you need it all the time. But if what you do, you believe in what you do, and you're confident about what you do, and you have that social network around you to support you in what you do, and you always strive to improve, do you really need it all the time? No.
So what you're talking about is not just confidence, but posture. Because
yes.
If you believe in what you're doing, then you don't need that confirmation from other people that says, yep, this is good stuff. Keep it up.
Yeah, I mean, we all need that, but to the extent of what you need that, you know, because it's great. I mean, when I get somebody I respect that says, hey, Lorinda, that was great, I'm like, woohoo, and I'm telling all my friends, that person said that was great.
Yeah.
You know, because it's great. We all need affirmation, absolutely. But then the question is, you know, like, I'm having a hard time recently, particularly, you know, that I see all these tweets where it's like, you know, hey, and it's just a list of people's names. And I'm like, well, what's
oh,
that
boy.
Providing in that?
And we were going to get to that, because that's a doozy of a topic on its own.
But you know, like, it's just a way of saying, you know, I'm pointing you out, I'm giving you attention, but for what, right? Like, are you not giving me any value? You're not talking to, like, when I have, and the person that lately I've been just admiring who does this so well is Jenna Calloway, right? Every time she talks to me, I feel special. Yep. I feel like she's talking right to me. If she sends me a tweet, it is for me. If she's responding to like a blog post, it is for me. Or even like when I write a response on her blog, you know, like it's everything is packaged in this beautiful way that just like it, like I find it an inspiration that I want to aspire to that, you know, because it makes me feel special. But if you're getting an affirmation where it's like, hey. It's not quite the same.
Yeah, that's what I mean. When I think about engagement, I think about a much deeper thing than just mere interaction or reciprocation as most people define it. And Janet is something of an anomaly because she's amazing. I mean, she's got a massive network that she's developed over many, many years. And she's pretty recent new player in the social media space. But she does amazing things, and she's someone that's doing it right. I mean, she's got the influence over multiple people, tons of people, but she's also engaging. And she sets the bar really high. I'm even intimidated sometimes by her, because, I mean, wow.
But you know what? What a great inspiration, because it's like, if she can do that, if everyone just did a percentage of what she did, what a nicer place this world would be.
You know, another thing about her, something that she's very passionate about. She says that her kind of core belief would be that she feels she'd rather help others more than she helps herself. Now, she said it in much more beautiful words than that, because you know she has a way with words.
Yeah.
But she also said that she often does not ask for help, though she's not afraid to, but she usually does not ask for help unless she really needs it, or the person opens that door for her. Mm-hmm. And that's when she goes even further for that person, because then she feels like a sort of debt, not an obligation, but she feels like she really needs to help that person out even more. And quite honestly, we've both been helping, like just humbly asking each other for help on different things that we're not as strong on, and it's always a positive experience. And she really has fulfilled me in so many ways, and she's just one of those people that fills your heart with joy and makes your soul feel completely uplifted. I mean, I can speak volumes about her. We could just talk forever about her.
But, you know, it's interesting to try to evaluate why she's so good at it. You know, like, what does she do? Like, what is she doing specifically? Like, what action is she taking that makes me feel the way that I do? You know? And it's not rocket science, doesn't take a lot of extra time, and it's just that I feel like she's the type of person that when you speak, she blocks out the world and looks directly in your eyes and listens.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, I'm going to say the story, though I'm not a fan of Tom Cruise, but I remember hearing the story about him being in the Oprah offices, and that the producer was saying, you know, he'd come and he'd sit in her office, and she's one of his talents is that when he's with you, it's this sense of like he's really listening. It's a sense of like really having that engagement. And how much of social media is a drive-by engagement?
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, and you're gone, right?
Yep.
As opposed to like stopping, saying, I'm listening to you. You know, I care about you. I'm taking in what you're saying, and then I'm giving something actually back.
Wow, thank you so much, Lorinda, for sharing your time, your talent, your thoughts with us at Not Just Another Business Podcast. We sure look forward to having you on the podcast again soon. For those of you who are listening, be sure and visit us at marketinganswerman.com. Leave your questions, leave your comments. This is a conversation. It's not just us sharing our thoughts. We want to hear from you, and we will see you next week. Have a good week.